Well, before we get started with the message, I actually want to give a shout out to those folks who join us online each week. If you're watching online via Facebook, feel free to interact. Feel free to comment on the service. Feel free to let us know what's going on. You're part of our ministry here, too. Just not physical, but this Holy Spirit is with all of us together. I got a call earlier today from someone who watches online. They've known and watched us for a while. They even remember us back at the Early Childhood Learning Center, for those of you who have been here for a while. And they were checking on our website. They were saying, well, we went to go see the service last week, and we didn't find it. Did you move it? We didn't. Last week, we didn't broadcast our services because of the special service that we did have. But this will be available on our website shortly after tonight. So I'm very glad that they contacted me, because that's how we know you guys are getting ministered to who are watching on the web. Because you communicate with us, let us know. You know on our website, you can also reach out and send me an email. You can contact our prayer team. All that's available, even if you're not here. So good evening, everyone, and welcome. And before we even open God's Word and start studying John's Gospel, I have a question, and maybe there's someone here who knows the answer to the question. How long can the human body go without water? A week? Don't be looking it up on your phones. Mr. Steve, what do you think?
2 days.
2 days? Well, awful close.
Well, it's two minutes in the air, 2 days in water, 2 weeks without.
What do you think? 4 days?
1 day.
1 day? Well, the source I used said the human body can't go without water for about 3 days. Yeah, about 3 days. I guess maybe it depends on how much you've had and when you started. And it could be as little as two or one. It could be maybe as good as four. But the source I used said 3 days. The truth is, the bottom line is, our bodies need a lot of water to maintain the internal balance. To keep ourselves alive, we need water to keep us healthy. So in general, while you can't survive with water for about 3 days, now food is 10 days. Now, as for me, I could probably go 20 with the reserves that God has given me. But you need food about every 10 days, but this particular source said 3. So I'm going with that, but you're probably all right. Water is essential to our bodies, and it's essential to life. Without water, a person doesn't survive that long before things start to shut down. Your body starts to revolt against you, and bad things happen. Drinking water does a lot more than just quench your thirst. It's essential for keeping our bodies functioning, healthy. Nearly all of your major systems in the body, by the way, depend on water to operate and survive. Water makes up 60% of our body weight. Again, that's what that source said. So it's not surprising. There's a lot of benefits and a lot of requirements of staying hydrated. These are just some examples they gave me. Water helps regulate your body temperature. So I'm guessing if you're feeling warm, maybe a little water helps with that. It moistens your tissues in your eyes, your nose, your mouth. It protects body organs. It protects your tissues. It carries nutrients and oxygen throughout your body to all your cells. It lubricates your joints. So if you're getting up in the morning, you're a little bit of, maybe you need more water. Maybe that'll help you. I don't know. It lessens the burden on your kidneys and your liver because it flushes out the stuff that doesn't belong. And it gets minerals and nutrients dissolved so that those can go into your body as well. And that's just what this article said. Well, men, the article says, we should have a minimum of 12 cups of water a day. Ladies, a minimum of 9. I know, one cup of coffee, two cup of coffee, neither count, so I'm low. The article also stresses that we should meet most of our water needs by actually drinking water. But things like soups and milk and 100% juice and even some decaffeinated teas are an option. Fruits and vegetables have water in them. Those are good for us, but you can't really track how much water you're getting in food. So they say at least 8 cups of fluid a day. That's how you and I should get hydrated. So, point number one. No, I'm just kidding. Water is so critical to our existence that it's actually a symbol for life itself. You ever heard of the legend of the Fountain of Youth? Yeah, wishing that we had one of those, some of us? Maybe? It's a mythical spring that restores youth to anyone who drinks it or bathes in it. It became prominent in the 16th century when it was associated with the Spanish explorer Juan Ponce de Leon. He supposedly was searching for that fountain when he traveled to Florida in 1513, because that's where the Native Americans told him he might find it. Water is associated with birth, fertility, refreshment, and the Bible, we'll see tonight, uses water as a metaphor in many places in the very same way. Water in the Bible brings about life. Water in the Bible sustains life. It's used as a metaphor to wash away death, to refresh, to cleanse. And it's used to symbolize transformation and renewal, like the case of water baptism. Baptism is a wonderful picture of what Jesus has done. Because as an individual, when we're completely immersed in the water, it symbolizes being buried with Christ. We're baptized into his death on the cross. And we're no longer slaves to ourselves or to sin. And then when we're raised out of that water, it symbolizes being resurrected with him into a new life, forever born into the family of God. Water baptism, it also illustrates spiritual cleansing. When we experience the gift of life through Jesus, just as water cleanses our bodies, the Holy Spirit cleanses our hearts when we place our trust in him. Just a few weeks ago in our study of the Gospel of John, we looked at the feeding of the 5,000 together with Jesus' Bread of Life discourse. You might remember that. You might remember in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus declared to the crowd and the people around him, he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now in John chapter 7, where we have arrived, Jesus once again engages a group of people. This time he's at the Feast of Tabernacles. And during this encounter, Jesus again speaks about water and being thirsty as he discusses the water of life, or in this case, what he calls living water. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 7. Let's read what Jesus said, captured in verses 37 through 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. There are a number of places in his gospel where John writes about, where Jesus speaks about water, such as chapter 4, where Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman who came to draw water from the well of Jacob. And Jesus strikes up a conversation about what? Water with her. It's sometimes this passage is called the Water of Life discourse, when Jesus gives a talk to somebody. And it's kind of the counterpart to the Bread of Life discourse. Jesus talks to the woman about the water she initially came for, the water in the well, and he explains to her, there's special water that'll never run dry. Jesus tells her this, if you want to go there in chapter 4 of John, verse 13 and 14. Everyone who drinks this water, he's talking about the water from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Let's stop and capture something important from Jesus' words that he said to the Samaritan woman, and the point is this: what the world offers evaporates. What Jesus offers endures. What the world offers evaporates. That water goes. It doesn't stay around. What Jesus offers stays. It lasts. It endures. Jesus tells the woman, drink that water and you'll thirst again. It doesn't last. You'll be parched again. Then he tells her about this living water that will be in the one who drinks it. At first, she didn't really take him seriously. She didn't really understand what he was saying, what he's trying to explain. The woman in Christ, well, how can I get such water? Where can I find this water? So that she wouldn't have to travel every day to this well at an inconvenient time. So no one else would be there but her. She was thinking that Jesus was talking about some kind of magic water. Some kind of Mary Poppins-like water that just popped in. And that would meet her physical needs. As the encounter continues in chapter 4, later John records this in verses 25 and 26. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Jesus takes the conversation from a focus of her physical needs to a focus on her spiritual needs by telling her to go back and get your husband. Bring him here so that we can talk about these things. And you might remember from the story that she didn't have a husband. In fact, she had had five husbands, and the one she was with now wasn't her husband either. The water Jesus describes to her is not something to quench her physical thirst, but a living water to quench her spiritual thirst. A thirst which in her case was revealed through the woman's life, through a number of broken relationships, through a number of sinful relationships as she searched for something that truly would satisfy her, that would truly bring about fulfillment that she didn't find. The water of life Jesus spoke of is one of spiritual washing and refreshment, which the woman needed more than she needed just to have her thirst quenched physically from the water in the well. So what was the result of the conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well? Well, John records in chapter 4, verses 39 through 42 this. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Point two, living water is given to those who trust in Jesus. Living water is given to those who trust in Jesus. In John chapter 4, and in the subsequent passage in John chapter 7, Jesus identifies himself plainly as the one who brings about divine provision. He introduces himself as the one who can meet every longing of every human heart. He unveils in this passage that the living water is the Holy Spirit, who would be poured out on them very soon. When you and I give your life to Christ, when we've done that, he pours his Spirit into us. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, and he will always be with us. He will never leave. You know, later in life, God would give John a vision where he's able to see into heaven and get a glimpse of what's there. And he wrote the vision that God gave him down so that you and I could see the little piece of heaven that John saw in the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2, John sees the place where God's people will dwell. What John sees is that people will dwell in his presence and experience God's never-ending supply of nourishment and refreshment. That's what he describes. Abundant blessings for all of eternity John writes this, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city." And that's in Revelation 22, first two verses. And finally, in a final invitation, John reiterates this point about water and coming to Christ in Revelation 22, 17. He says, "Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." Friends, the words of Jesus from tonight's study remind you and I that we have some wonderful news to celebrate. We have good news. You and I don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience the blessings of the water of life. Because John tells us we've got that now. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to dwell in God's presence. Of course, when we get there, the blessings in heaven, even that John hints of in Revelation, they're amazing, but those are only glimpses of how spectacular it will be. Scripture talks about just glimpses of how spectacular heaven will be. But let's not diminish the amazing blessing that God pours out this side of eternity through his Spirit. Through God's Spirit, living water dwells in us as believers. That's a big deal. That's a big blessing. Because God's Spirit is with us now. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to dwell in God's presence. We've got that now. Luke writes in Luke 11, 13, as Jesus is teaching on prayer, he captures this. He says, "If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of water, you and I can experience that water of life here and now. Jesus, through the power of his Spirit, can quench your thirst. You just need to come to him and drink. That's what it says in chapter 7. And when you do, the Bible says, rivers of living water will flow from within you. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life, working in my life, giving us spiritual cleansing, giving us constant refreshment. Point three is this. God's Spirit refreshes the heart like morning dew. God's Spirit refreshes the heart like morning dew. One of the daily Bible devotions I get in my email had this title on Wednesday of this week. Quite interesting. It said, "The Holy Spirit Dew," D-E-W. The devotion referenced the words of the prophet Hosea, who wrote this, which you already see on the screen in Hosea 14:5. "I will be like the dew to Israel." It then went on to explain how God's Spirit is like the morning dew in saying these things. Listen, this is amazing. The Holy Spirit is dew, who can refresh your spirit with his presence today. Feel him. He is dew, coming gently to leave refreshment. Even when you can't see with your physical eyes, do you feel the spiritual moisture? He is dew who leaves your spiritual face damp when it's not raining. Experience him. He is dew coming silently, invisibly, and softly. Let his presence work in your life. The Holy Spirit is dew to reinvigorate your vision. Open up your soul to see more things from God. He is due to reignite those who are about to give up battle. Let him equip you for spiritual warfare. He is due to reinvigorate those who quit working. He can reenlist you this day. He is due like the early morning dampness that makes the grass and plants grow, even when there's no rain. Let him be due that gives you new purpose in life. The Holy Spirit refreshes our hearts like morning dew. Of the four Gospels, the Gospel of John presents the best picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel describes the Holy Spirit's work through chapters 14, 15, and 16. Now, we don't have time tonight to look at any of that deeper. That would take us away from our focus. But if you want to understand more about the Holy Spirit's ministry, then take a look at those three chapters this week. Take a look in your own, read those, and you'll see the amazing things God's Spirit does, pours into you and I. What I will say that's really important, and John does a really great job in his gospel, is he highlights every function the Holy Spirit does in John's gospel is also performed by Christ. John makes sure in his gospel that you and I don't miss that the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Spirit. John connects the Holy Spirit with the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. You might remember when we met John the Baptist. He associates the Spirit with the beginning of spiritual life of believers. And the emphasis that is placed on John the Baptist's contrast of water and Spirit baptism in chapter 1 tells us that baptism through Jesus, through Spirit, brings about life. This new life is characterized by the Spirit's presence, living water to those who believe in him. Now, as we turn our attention toward, so how can we apply what we have learned in tonight's study? How can we take what John talks about and do something with that? There's two questions I want you to ask yourself. Question one is this. Ask yourself, am I parched? Or better yet, not am I parched, but where am I parched? It's likely every one of us feel burned out in some way. We feel there's an area in our life where we feel that our feet are on the fire, and I'm thirsty. My well is running, or it's already run dry. Ask yourself, where am I parched? Maybe it's your life overall. Maybe it's your energy. Maybe it's your gusto is all dried up from the heat of life's responsibilities, the pressures, the challenges, the struggles. Ask yourself, am I parched? Ask yourself, am I thirsty? Am I in need of God's refreshment in my soul? We read tonight, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. God wants to refresh your soul. He wants to renew your joy. He wants to wash away the waste, the harmful, the hurtful. Tonight's takeaway is this. Quench your thirst with living water. The secret to accessing this living water and quenching your thirst, the secret to satiating that longing of your soul, it comes from God's design for us. It comes from his design to be near him, to be in his presence. The psalmist pleads with God to quench his thirst in Psalm 145, 16. He says, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And we read this in Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You and I can't access the satisfaction the Bible talks about without being close enough on our walk with Jesus to hold his hand. It's hard to know the path you and I should take in life. It's hard to be filled with joy, the joy of God's presence, if we're not walking with him. Our thirst is quenched, the Bible says, through living water. But we have to come to him. We have to drink it up. When we truly thirst for something, God graciously provides that. So drink up his wisdom. Drink up his correction. When we thirst for truth, he satisfies that thirst. So let's let his love and his word permeate through our heart, our body, mind, and soul. The woman at the well didn't pick up her water bucket and just go home to her old life as if she was never changed. She didn't do that at all. She acted on what Jesus revealed to her. She knew she needed access to the living water. She knew she needed saving and forgiveness, and it transformed her. So much so that she went back and told all the townspeople what happened. Now, mind you, these are all the people that she would go really out of her way to avoid seeing every single day because she was ashamed because of what she'd done, who she was. These are the same people she tried to avoid. These are people that probably wanted nothing to do with her at all. She not only told them, but they believed her. They believed Jesus cleansed her. They believed Jesus changed her. And I think that's because they saw something in her that was different. Something in her that was changed. Something they wanted as well. So they followed her to hear for themselves from Jesus. And they proclaimed the Savior of the world had come. And they too wanted that living water. Earlier we discussed the benefits of drinking water. Well, just like drinking water regulates the temperature of our body, the Holy Spirit can regulate your mental disposition, your mental temperature. The water of life God offers protects our minds and our hearts from harm, just like the physical water protects our bodies and our organs. When we drink water, it's easier for our bodies to flush out the waste. When we follow God in obedience and we drink from His Word, the fountain of His wisdom, we flush out sin. We carry precious nutrients to areas of our life. If you're thirsty for answers to life's tough questions, like who am I? How did I get here? Why am I here? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do terrible things happen to good people? Is there life after death? Or whatever your question is, then keep investigating because there's truth out there. You know, sometimes we see spiritual truth right in front of us and we don't take it in. We just kind of move past that. Well, the woman at the well, she didn't do that. God's word was at her, was right in front of her. And you and I have God's word right in front of us. It's at our fingertips. It's on our phone. It's on our shelf. And tonight's passage challenges you and me to take it up and drink it in. God's word is where you're going to find those answers to the questions I posed. Life's tough questions are answered in the Bible. So all you need is some rest. Jesus can quench your thirst, but you have to go to Him. He said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Perhaps you're not looking for rest. Maybe you're looking for zest. Maybe you're looking for zeal. Maybe you're looking for the life you thought you were going to have and you're not living it now. Well, life with Jesus, He says, life with me, well, that's life to the full. Jesus said in John 10:10, that's why I came. I came that they, meaning those who trust Him, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. So if you're missing something, you don't feel full, then we already talked that Jesus can satisfy your hunger. Jesus can satisfy your thirst. Maybe you're here tonight and your thirst is out of purpose, that of meaning in your life. Understanding where you fit in. Jesus satisfies your longing for belonging. And here at Westridge, we believe firmly that every person has a purpose in God's kingdom. God gives each one of us gifts. And the Bible tells us to use those gifts to serve others. You have a purpose. You have a purpose in life. You have a purpose in God's church. And I'd love to talk to you about how God can use you to advance His agenda. So as the worship team comes forward, talk to God. Tell Him tonight you're thirsty. Ask Him to come and refresh you with the water of life. Ask Him to be the morning dew that you need. Come to the well that never runs dry. Would you stand as we sing?